happy Mother's Day, Mom. There is no exaggeration to anything that that video just portrayed. Moms give and give and give, and the overtime check never seems to come in the mail. And we know that, right? Well, today is Happy Mother's Day to each of you women in the house of God today. And I know that as we give, there are many of you that today that would say, you know what? I know a rock star mom, or a mom that should receive a gold medal because she just serves and seems to rise up to every level. How many of you know some of those moms? I do. And then there are some of you moms that say, you know what? You'd probably cringe or laugh out loud because you'd say, a medal? No, thank you. I'm barely keeping my head above water. And I would say, you know what? I remember those days all too well. And I just want to encourage you because guess what? It's not going to last. It will change. They get older and it becomes a little bit easier. I wish I had known that when they were little because I wouldn't have had to pretend that I had it all together because there's no such thing, right? I'd say leave the unimportant things behind and focus on the important things, and that is spend more time with them. And it doesn't matter their age, okay? And so today is a Hallmark moment kind of a day, and so we celebrate with each of you moms that your hearts explode with just joy today. Because you are actively caught in the mindset and the action of giving, receiving, and sharing those motherhood moments. And we rise up to this moment. We say, congratulations. You all, we're proud of those moments. Those moments are priceless. And then we also remember the moms today, the women in the house today, that today perhaps is not a joyous moment because today their hearts are still filled with longing. They're still in their waiting season. And we'd say, dear women of God, hold on to those dreams. We focus, we acknowledge your dreams. We acknowledge those dreams that are in your heart. And we say, do not give up on them. Today in service, may you feel God surround you with prayerful love. And may he breathe upon those dreams once again. And it is my prayer for every daughter in the house today to realize that they carry the title of titles, and that is the title, Daughter of God. And never forget that. And I have watched many of you up close, up front, live life before me as I have lived life before you. And I have watched you hold on to those dreams with holy grit. And today I've pinned something down, and I want to focus on a few of those moms and the character of them, and I want you to listen in. So to the mom out there who chose to become a mom through adoption, our world says thank you to you for opening up your heart to love like our Father does. To the grandmom who now holds the new title of mom once again, because you are embracing round two of being mom, I'd say your sacrificial love does not go unnoticed. And by now you have perspective and you realize that it's okay if that child pulls out that jersey that didn't make the laundry, and they can wear it one more time. You know that it's not going to be the end of the world, right? Because at this point, there's a greater picture in mind, and you see it. And to those that are grieving the loss today, we hurt with you. To the mom who plays the role of mom and dad in the house due to unforeseen circumstances, we'd say, we pray strength over you. Hold on, God sees you. You are not alone.
That's right.
And to the woman who knows the loss of human life, may you be reminded that he sees your pain and he speaks grace over you, and you are the apple of his eye. And to those who make it a point to love children in their midst with the heart of a mom because you know you are made to do so, thank you. Thank you for being you. And to those who extend love to special needs children, you are our heroes today. You are you have the nature that makes up the fabric of this great nation under God. You are the best. And for those of you that are still caught in the position of Hannah in that posture of prayer and believing God for promises that seem so far away, I'd say at this point, hold on. Today, may you be reminded that you are a carrier of God's love, and that makes you a spiritual mama. And I'd say, hold on to the dream in your heart and continue to give yourself away. And even if you don't feel like Mother's Day is for you, I'd say today, Happy Mother's Day, it's for you. And so at this point, I'd like to remind us that we will all be forever children and that there is no such thing as spiritual adulthood in spiritual life. We are all children, and let's not ever forget that. Every one of us are loved and unconditionally by this amazing God, and he gives us this ability to give life, and we are so thankful for that. And I want to leave you with a scripture. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I want to pray a blessing over moms. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this scripture, Lord. This scripture reminds us, as we too are building, Lord God, as Zechariah brought the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel when the the temple was being built in Jerusalem, God, he was discouraged, God. He was discouraged because things were not going as planned, God. And you didn't bring that word, God, to say, you know what, God shows up and he'll just bring home a miracle, God. Instead, you wanted to bring home encouragement for the man of God to see that you were transcending. Your grace could transcend any situation, no matter what it looks like. So, Father, we thank you this day that we too, as we're building, as families are being built, as destinies are unfolding, God, we thank you that you remind every mom and every family unit that it is not with just our strength. God, we need you and by your Spirit. So we thank you for your blessing upon households this day and mamas and grandmoms. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, honey. Happy Mother's Day. Well, moms, you are special, and we couldn't do it without you. Thank you for your sacrifice and your dedication. And I'm a traditionalist, which means whenever a special moment, a special holiday comes along, I actually want to preach on that topic. So every Easter, I preach on the resurrection. And so after it's all said and done, Lord willing, after being here 25 or 30 years, I will have preached 25 Easter messages. And every Mother's Day, no matter what series we may be in, we're in the book of Acts right now, but I take a pause and I preach on moms. So moms, here you go. The title of the message, Mom, a title just above a queen. And I believe that. You know, there was a mother that was concerned about her only son going off to college for the very first time. And so she wrote a letter to the president of the college. And here's what the letter said. Dear sir, my son has been accepted for admission to your college and soon he will be leaving me. I'm writing to ask that you give your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. I want to be sure that the roommate is not the kind of person who uses foul language, tells off-color jokes, smokes, drinks, or chases after girls. I hope you will understand why I'm appealing to you directly. You see, this is the first time my son will be away from home except for the 3 years he was in the Marine Corps. You know, that pretty much sums up moms, doesn't it? Here's what's interesting. In the Bible, God on several occasions uses maternal metaphors to describe his love and care for his people. In Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 13, here's one of those moments. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Isn't that interesting? Here the children of Israel had spent 70 years in captivity, 70 years in bondage, and now they're returning back to their homeland, back to the Holy Land, back to Jerusalem. After 70 years of captivity, they're coming back and it's a mess. There's no temple, it was destroyed. There are no walls around the city. The way they left it is not the way they returned to find it. And at that moment in their life, God said, just as a mother comforts her child, I will comfort you. What a beautiful expression of God's love for all of us. Sometimes we arrive back to a place in our life and it's been devastated. Maybe we've been away and we have to return. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a friendship. Maybe it's a marriage. And we come back and it's in the worst shape possible. But God's there to remind you, it's going to be all right. Just as a mother comforts her child, I will also comfort you. So moms, we're celebrating you today. God celebrates you in the Bible. Even online, I was looking at, online they have a list of the top 50 TV moms of all time. The top 25 TV moms of all, the top 10 TV moms of all time. And here are the top 5 TV moms of all time. Claire Huxtable from The Cosby Show. Lorelai Gilmore from Gilmore Girls. Marion Cunningham from Happy Days. Peggy Bundy from Married with Children. And this is their list, not mine. I don't even know any of these shows, really. And then this last one I do, Carol Brady from The Brady Bunch. I watched that show growing up because I had a crush on Marcia. But anyway. You think about the best moms in the Bible. Who are some of the best moms? Who would be on the list of the best moms in the Bible? Who would be on number one? Number one mom in the Bible? You better say Mary, right? I mean, she's the mother of the Savior of the world, right? Mary, what an amazing woman. You know, on my list, the second most important mom in the Bible would have to be Moses' mother, Jochebed, right? Why? Because, well, she gave birth to the most incredible leader and deliverer of all time outside of Jesus Christ, Moses. But she also gave birth to Aaron, the first priest. She also gave birth to Miriam, the first worship leader. Right? She's the first one that takes a tambourine and worships God after they cross through the Red Sea. So give it up for Jochebed right now. Just take a moment and give it up for her. Wow, I can't wait to meet her in heaven. And then, you know, maybe the next best mom, maybe is Elizabeth. Because, you know, she gave birth to John the Baptist. But there are some amazing moms in the Bible. There are some bad, really bad moms in the Bible. Who would be on your list of, like, the worst three moms in the Bible? My first person on that list would be Jezebel. How'd you like to grow up and your mom was Jezebel? You're like, I think my mom was. No, she wasn't. I mean, this woman, like, was really, really evil and really, really bad. How about Lot's wife? I mean, like, you can't get any worse, really, than Jezebel and Lot's wife. She turned into a pillar of salt because she didn't fear God. She didn't love God. And then Herodias, married to Herod. She used to be Philip's wife. And anyway, she cut off the head of one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, John the Baptist. Some really bad moms. So when God in Scripture compares himself to a mom, he's not a mother. But he, at times, can be compared like a mother. And there's a difference. See, every time God's mentioned in the Bible, he's always referred to in the masculine form, he or him or father. When we pray the most famous prayer in all of the world, what we call the Lord's Prayer, how does it begin? Our Father who art in heaven. Not our mother. It'll never be our mother. And as a man, I'm thankful for that. God is in the masculine form, and he will always be in the masculine form. And yet, there are times that God reveals his nature, his character, and he compares himself to that of a mother. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Here's another instance of this in Genesis 17:1. When Abram, which means exalted father, then his name was changed to Abraham, which means father of many nations. When Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai. Live in my presence, be perfect. This name for God that's used here in Genesis 17:1, El comes from the Hebrew word Elohim, meaning God. Shaddai comes from a Hebrew word shad that the Hebrew scholars say is used and references a nursing mother that provides love, tender love and care, cuddles with her child, and from her breast feeds her child. That's an interesting way for God to describe himself to Abram, who's about to become a father, that I am El Shaddai. But here's what I know. If the Holy Spirit is comfortable with this imagery, guess what? I'm also really comfortable with this imagery. One more example, Deuteronomy 32:18. You neglected the rock who had fathered you. You forgot the God who had given you birth. Wow. God uses these maternal metaphors in Scripture to express and reveal his love for us. And how a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. That's God's promise to all of us today. Not only to the children of Israel thousands of years ago, but to you. No matter what you may be facing, no matter what you might be going through in your life, God comforts like a mother comforts. And we all know how mothers comfort, don't we? I mean, if you're a small child growing up and you injure yourself and you run in the house, you're not looking for dad. You're looking for mom, right? Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? They'll come straight to you. Why? Because moms have magic spit. A mom's spit can clean a stain off of a piece of clothing. It can heal a scrape or a wound. There's just something about the gifts that God has given to a mom that brings comfort in your hour of need. But here's the question we want to answer. How does God comfort us? God comforts us in three different ways. First of all, God comforts us like a mother comforts her children, but how does he do it? He does it, number one, through his precepts. God comforts us through his precepts. A precept is a command. It's a principle. It's a rule or an action or a conduct. A rule for a particular conduct, a way to live our life. And so God's word are the precepts of God, the commands of God. And God, through his holy commands, God, through his holy truth, he comforts us through the Holy Scriptures. Paul was writing a letter to a church called Thessalonica. The Thessalonian Christians were going through a very difficult time. They were going through severe persecution for their faith. They were going through a very difficult trial in their life. Many of them were believing the false rumors that were being spread by the false apostles at that time, that Christ had already come, that they had missed the rapture, that they had missed the coming of Christ, that they were left behind for the time of Jacob's trouble and all that was going to come upon the world at that time. And Paul's like, time out. None of that's true. The Lord has not come yet. Many of them were grieving because their loved ones had died, and many of them believed that they would actually witness the coming of Jesus. But it wasn't for that season or that time yet. And so they were wondering, what about our loved ones that have died? Where are they now? So Paul reassures them, and in the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 13, he says this, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And verse 18 says this, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." Say that with me, with these words. What words? What words will bring comfort during your trials and times of persecution and times of chaos in our lives? God, the Holy Scriptures. God comforts us through his precepts. God comforts us through his word. There's nothing that can compare to the soothing, healing nature of the word of God, of the Holy Scriptures. God's word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, the writer of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us. There's nothing in the world that can be compared to the comfort and the strength and the healing power that comes through the Holy Scriptures. And this is a theme. The theme of how God comforts us through the Scriptures is really throughout the entire Bible. Let me give you one more verse in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Paul says, "For whatever things were written before in the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Thank God for the entirety of God's Word. There's a famous preacher out of Atlanta, and he says some controversial things that I think throws people off, and I don't know why he says these things sometimes, but he said in his most recent sermon that we need to detach from the Old Testament. He said he believed that the entire Bible was the inspired Word of God, but we need to detach ourselves from the Old Testament. You don't need to detach yourself from anything in the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, these things were written for our learning, for our training, for our instruction in righteousness, and they're there. These stories are there throughout the entire Bible to comfort us and to give us hope. Come on, let's give it up for a moment for the entirety of God's Word, that all of Scripture is there and inspired to comfort us. I can't tell you the times in my own personal life that God's Word has brought me such peace, such comfort in the midst of the storm. You and I can always turn to God's Word to receive comfort. When I was 19, I worked as a prison guard in Las Lunas, New Mexico. And I can't tell you how I encountered prisoners who were genuinely born again now. They were going to spend the rest of their lives in prison, but they were genuinely saved, and they would read the Scriptures regularly. And I saw how the Word of God, even in the darkest places of this world, like a prison, someone serving a life sentence, how they received great hope and strength and encouragement from the Scriptures. Even as a prison guard back then, at 19 years of age, I would put my shirt on, have my badge, and I would put a pocket New Testament inside of my pocket, and I would carry the Bible into work with me. You know, back then, we didn't have smartphones. You didn't have, you know, the Bible on an app. You know, it's amazing. We have smartphones and dumb people today. Back then, we had smart people and dumb phones. I don't know what's better. But I can't tell you the times that I would take a break on lunch, or maybe I was working the graveyard shift, and I was up, you know, in the control center, and all the lights were out, and everyone was locked down, and I would pull out my New Testament, and I would read the Scripture. At that time, I was reading it, and I was trying to memorize as much of it as I possibly could. And I can't tell you the comfort it brought in my life from that point up until this point. Imagine those locked in a hospital room right now. Maybe they have an incurable disease that they're battling, but the comfort, I don't know if it's this way, but it used to be this way, that in every hospital room, there was a Bible there that somebody could take and read and find comfort from that. Think of those that have turned to the Word of God and how they have received such encouragement during great times of trial and tribulation. And here's what I know about God's Word. God's Word comforts us because God uses truth to help us. God speaks the truth in love, but what comforts us in our times of trial and tribulation is to know the truth. The truth about heaven, the truth about hell, the truth about life, and the truth about death. The truth about ourselves and the truth about God. God comforts us not with a lie, not with a false hope, but with truth. A survey published in the journal Health Affairs a few years back reflected on the complex relationship between doctors and their patients. Lisa Lenzoni and her colleagues surveyed 1,891 physicians nationwide about how honest they were with their patients regarding medical mistakes and patients' prognosis. And more than 55% of physicians said they often or sometimes describe a patient's prognosis in a positive manner that the facts might not necessarily support. You know, when people are going through a difficult time, what they need is they need the truth. They need the brutal, honest truth. And that's what God's Word does. God's Word doesn't just comfort us in our sin. God, because He loves us, will afflict us in our sin to bring us to the cross so that we could find the comfort and know the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God. God doesn't comfort you with a lie. God doesn't tell you all is well when all is not well. But He does tell you, and He does tell me, that even though it may not be well for you today, it can be well for your soul once again. Because with God, all things are possible. In the world of psychology, they call this positive illusions. And so many are living today under these false positive illusions, believing something to be real or true that isn't. These unrealistic, favorable attitudes that people possess are really a form of self-deception. See, God comforts us through His precepts, through His commands. God comforts us through truth. And God allows us to see the world as it actually is. But it doesn't end there. He lets us see what's beyond what is seen, that there is a hope. And that's the anchor of our soul. Hope is the anchor of our soul. How does God comfort us? Number two, God comforts us through people. God uses others to comfort us. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 4, he says this: God comforts us in all, not just some, but all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. Anyone in any type of trouble, God can use you to bring comfort to them. Because when you were going through a trial or a tribulation, God brought comfort to you, and then you pay it forward with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted. Notice how many times, this is one of the most comfortable verses in the Bible. Notice how many times the word comfort is used by God, because God, as a mother comforts her child, so God comforts you. God brings you comfort, not just, well, as John Henry Jowett said, God does not comfort us to make us comfortable, but to make us comforters, so that we could become the voice of God, the love of God, the hand of God, the peace of God, the grace of God in somebody else's life. In 2 Corinthians 7:13, Paul goes on to say about this same theme of how God comforts us through others: therefore, we have been comforted in your comfort, and we rejoice exceedingly more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. How many know in life there are people that have been graced by God that can bring comfort in your life? There are people that can refresh your spirit. How many of us enjoy being around people that can refresh our spirits? And then there are those that weary our spirits. And we don't want to be around those people. When we find out that they're going to be at that family gathering, we're like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to make it this time. I'm so sorry. I need to get new tires in my car, and this is the only day I can do it. We come up with some kind of an excuse. You see, we don't want to be like Job's comforters. Job was going through a great trial in his life, a horrendous trial. And his friends came and they didn't bring him comfort. They didn't refresh his spirit. They wearied him. In Job 16:2, he said this. Job said, I've heard all this before. What miserable comforters you are. Job just told it like it was, you know. Get away from me. I don't need to hear this thing. You know, when somebody's going through a trial, well, they don't need somebody like saying, I told you so. I told you that was going to happen. You should have listened to me, but now you're getting everything you deserve. Thanks a lot, right? In the hour of someone's greatest need, what they need is they need us to bring comfort. The same comfort with which God comforts us. He wants us to comfort others. One more verse, 1 Thessalonians 3:7. It says, therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. You know, sometimes just your example, just your witness, your testimony, your life can bring such comfort to others. They look at you and they think, you know, man, they made it through that difficult period of their life by God's grace. I know I can. Thank God for those of you that have a testimony. Thank God for those of you that are overcomers and that have overcome some great trials and hardships in life. Your faith, your witness, your testimony encourages others. But God uses others. He uses his precepts, and he uses people to comfort us. There was a 93-year-old widow who was living on a fixed income, and somebody stole her purse, and her last $100 was in that purse until her next pension check. And she wanted to do something special for some friends, and now she couldn't. So she thought she'd write a letter to God. And here's what she said. Dear God, I'm a 93-year-old widow living on a very small pension. Yesterday, someone stole my purse. It had $100 in it, which was all the money I had until next pension check. Next weekend was a special occasion, and I invited two friends to come over to my house, and I was going to fix them a wonderful meal. I have no family to turn to, and you are my only hope. Can you please help me? Sincerely, Edna. Well, she put it in the mailbox, and it went to the post office, and, you know, the post office, they didn't have any place to mail it to, so they opened it up, and they read it, and they were touched. They were moved by her story. And so they got a collection together. Everyone in that post office, they got a collection together, and they collected $96. They put it back in the envelope, and they sent it back to Edna. Edna was so overjoyed at this miracle that occurred, she wrote a letter back to God, and she said this: Dear God, how can I ever thank you enough for what you did for me? Because of your gift of love, I was able to fix a glorious dinner for my friends. We had a very nice day, and I told my friends of your wonderful gift. By the way, $4 was missing. I think it must have been those thieves at the post office. Sincerely, Edna. You know, when God sends people into our lives to help us and to bless us and to bring comfort, we always need to be grateful. We always need to be thankful. How does God comfort us? He comforts us through his precepts, through truth, through truth. How does God comfort us? He comforts us through people. And third, finally, God comforts us through his presence. There's nothing like God's presence in our life and in your life. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit that comes and descends upon our life during times of prayer, during times of worship, during times of reading of Scripture, in a service like this. His presence, yes, the Holy Spirit lives in the believer, but the Holy Spirit can also come upon the believer. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then there are these wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. And here's what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. What a way to describe the Holy Spirit. He's called our paraclete. Parakletos is the Greek word. It means he's our advocate. He's our comforter. He's the one that's called alongside to stand with you in your hour of trial. He's also referred to as the helper in the Holy Scriptures. Another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Jesus said, it's to your advantage, it's to your benefit that I go away. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. When I go, the Holy Spirit will come. And how does Jesus describe the Holy Spirit? As our comforter. In a world filled with pain, in a world filled with trouble, in a world filled with trials and tribulations, all that will live godly will suffer persecution in this world. In this world, you're not going to get out of this world without some scars. We're going to talk about that next weekend as we start Acts chapter 14. But here's the good news. God sends the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings comfort. You know, God's not so concerned about our comfort as he is our character. But he is concerned about our comfort. And in your times of trials, he's there. The presence of the Holy Spirit is there. There's a verse in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. It says, and the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified. How? How did they have peace in the midst of trials, in the midst of persecution? How? How were they built up and edified? By walking in the fear of the Lord, number one, and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied. Two things are mentioned here, the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit and his presence comes into our lives, two things are at work, the fear of the Lord, a healthy reverence and respect for God, and with that, the Holy Spirit brings comfort. And there's a place of great confidence when we're in that spot between the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now we can't mention how the Lord comforts us without quoting the most famous psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Listen, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod of God And the staff of God brings comfort to us when we are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, David was a shepherd. And as a shepherd, you had really two instruments, a staff and a rod. A rod was carried in the belt of a shepherd, and that rod was a blunt instrument made out of wood. And it was used as a weapon to protect the sheep from any bear or lion or animal or predator or even a thief that would try to come and steal the sheep. And that shepherd would defend the sheep with that rod. And then there was the staff, which a long stick with a hook on the end of it. And that's how the shepherd would make sure that the sheep wouldn't wander and stray. And God comforts us with his rod and with his staff. Someone said that the rod represents the rulership of God and the staff represents the relationship with God. And we need both. We need the rod of God in our life and we need the staff of God in our life. We need to know that God loves us enough to correct us. God loves us enough that when we go on, when we begin to veer off on the wrong path, he loves us and so he disciplines us. I feel sorry for the Christian who never goes through a season of discipline. That means you're illegitimate. That means you truly are not a child of God. If you never feel the rod of God in your life, and I'm not talking about God punishing you. God punished Jesus on that cross for our sins. God doesn't punish you. God doesn't make you sick to teach you a lesson, although during times of sickness there is a lesson that we can learn that perhaps we could never learn any other time in our life. But it's not God that afflicts you to punish you, but God out of love disciplines us. And the writer of Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that. He will comfort you, his rod, his rulership. You see, if we truly want comfort in life, so many people turn, I was going to say we need some good old-fashioned Southern comfort, but that doesn't sound right. We need West Texas comfort because too many people go to Southern comfort to find comfort. They go to recreational drugs to find comfort. Sometimes people, you know, they run to food, and we run to so many things in this world to try to find comfort, to try to cope, when God says, my precepts will comfort you. My people will comfort you. I thank God for all of you that serve and give and help to make church work in churches like this throughout our great country and around the world. I thank God for those of you that volunteer, that help bring comfort in the lives of others. Something as simple as being a greeter on a weekend service like this, you don't know the heartache and the heartbreak that people may come to church with, and that smile, that encouraging word can make all the difference. God comforts us through his precepts. God comforts us through his people. And God comforts us through his presence when the Holy Spirit comes. Yes, he's in every believer, but there are special moments when we sense his presence and his anointing that comes upon us. And we're at such peace during those times. Through prayer, through meditation of scripture, through worship in a service like this, we're reminded, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you might ever have to face, in the days, weeks, months, and years to come, he's a friend. The Lord is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He promised, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you to the very ends of the earth. Our English word for comfort comes from a Latin word which means to strengthen. It means to fortify. In the word comfort, there's the word fort. Our God is a mighty fortress. He's a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are found to be safe. I want to end with this story. Many of you are familiar with the story of Jessica Buchanan. In 2012, she worked for the Danish Refugee Council, and she went as an educator to Somalia to try to help those that were hurting and in need. Little did she know that she would be kidnapped by Somali pirates. And they kept her for 90 days, 3 months. Every night she was in a new location. They hardly fed her. They weren't going to kill her because they wanted to use her as a ransom. She lost 25 pounds during this ordeal, and she had a severe urinary tract infection. She didn't think she was going to make it. One night, she looked up to the starry host there in the open sky in Somalia. She said a prayer to God, and she asked her mother to help her that had died a year earlier. She didn't know if she was going to make it much longer. That night, the United States government sent SEAL Team 6. They came into that camp, and they rescued her. Imagine what that moment was like for Jessica. Amen. when out of the blue, United States military armed forces showed up. And that burly, manly, masculine Navy SEAL voice said, "Hello, Jessica. I'm with the American military, and we're here to take you home." Imagine the joy that filled her heart, that God heard and God answered her prayer. You know, like Jessica, in our hour of need, God might not always send the Navy SEAL Team 6, but heaven's Navy SEAL Team 6 is the Holy Spirit. And every time we call, he hears, and God sends us his comfort. His presence comes, and his presence in your life will make all the difference, and God will see you through. You're going to make it. You are an overcomer, and greater is he that's in us than he that is in this world. And no matter what you have faced or what you might be facing now, lean on him. Trust in him. He will bring you comfort. For as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we humbly come before you today, and we thank you that today we're reminded that as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort us. Lord, I thank you that even now you're comforting men and women, those that are listening, streaming live online now. Thank you that you're bringing comfort into the hearts and into the lives of your people. Thank you for your presence here. And thank you, Lord, that we have ears to hear and hearts to receive what the Holy Spirit is saying through this message. Now, Lord, we're saying, what am I to do with this message in my life today? Make that your prayer. Just take a moment. And may that seat be an altar upon which you offer yourself and you say, God, what are you saying to me? Now, the heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can know him. Jesus died on a cross to save you. He took the punishment that you and I deserved. He took it upon himself. The wrath of God was poured out upon him, and he paid the price in full so you could know God's grace, love, and forgiveness, so that you could spend eternity with God in his kingdom forever and ever. But you must be born again. You must confess your sins, and you must turn to Christ in faith and receive his grace, love, and forgiveness. Maybe you're here today and you're backslidden. You've been away from God. You accepted Christ at one point in time in your life, but you haven't been living for him. You haven't been serving him. Well, today's the day, and the Father is running towards you with open arms, ready and willing to receive you back into relationship with himself. If you'll simply confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'd like for you to pray this prayer out loud with the rest of us. I want you to say it with your own mouth and mean it from your own heart. Here we go. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And there's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we thank the Lord together, church family?